If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much for bringing us our reading, Roz. I'm just going to set up a couple of things. So anybody listening online, I am moving a table into the front of church. Put various things on. Just to pique your interest. It's not for now. It is for later. And when it is, I'll hold it up so you can see it. Great. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the gift of your word. Lord Jesus, would you show us more of yourself? And as we see more of you, would you, by your grace and your power, make us more like you? Amen. Well, I wonder if you could imagine a 14, 15-year-old Manda. Well, let me tell you about me at that age. I was a fairly earnest young lady. I enjoyed school. I was fairly good academically. And I played loads of hockey. And it was around this age that I considered dyeing my hair orange. I didn't do it. And it's probably because I didn't have the courage to do it. But the reason I even considered dyeing my hair orange was because I loved the pop star Toya. I considered having orange hair because I wanted to imitate her. I was thinking probably of something like this, but maybe not as far as this. Imitating others. It's done in various ways. Many lads had a David Beckham haircut back in the day. There's various people at the moment wanting to wear the same clothes as Taylor Swift. Imitating David Beckham, imitating Taylor Swift. I wonder if you've ever had a period of imitating a famous person in any way. Well, the title of today's talk is taken from the heading given to today's passage in our Bible, Imitating Christ's Humility. When individuals imitate famous people with like hairstyles or clothes or jewellery, well, they're all external things, things that are on the surface. But the call to imitate Jesus and to imitate his example of humility is obviously much deeper. It's internal. It's about our mind and our thinking. It's about our heart and our attitudes. It's about our life and our lifestyle. So let's first look at this call to imitate Christ. Marcus did a recap at the beginning, and as he said, back in week one, Adam introduced this letter to the Philippians for us. He told us that in Paul's other letters to other churches, Paul often greeted them, said a few nice things, and then went on to tell them off. But not when he writes to the Philippians. He greets them. He tells them how he's praying for them. And then, as we've said earlier, he writes about joy and about love. And he encourages them to grow in their faith. He urges them on in their spiritual lives. He outlines ways they can grow as followers of Jesus. And remember, Paul is sat in a prison cell writing this letter. And you know what? Paul's deepest concern wasn't his own speedy release from prison. His deep concern is the spiritual progress of the Philippian Christians. And Paul writes that a key part of spiritual growth is to imitate Christ's humility. Verse 5 says, "Your attitude should be the same as Christ Jesus." Wow! We're to have the same attitude as Jesus. We're to imitate his attitude, and his attitude was one of humility. So let's look at this point at humility. Now, I'm not going to ask you to try and come up with a definition, but I think if I did, we'd all find it quite a challenge. It's one of those things that's a little bit difficult to pin down. I like this quote. "Humility is one of those things that if you think you have it, you don't." I also read this. "There's no strutting into the kingdom of God. We are to be sheep, not peacocks. We are to be servants, not sovereigns." Humility is to have a right view of ourselves. It's not denying the gifts and skills and abilities the Lord has given us. We have that phrase, don't we? False humility. If we start saying, "Oh, no, no, I'm not very good at that," when everybody knows we are. Humility is never about putting ourselves down, but humility is about judging ourselves with lowliness. When Paul writes to the Romans, he says this, "Do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment." And in today's reading, verse 3, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves." God's word is clear that we should see others not as opportunities to bring glory to ourselves, but as people we can serve in order to bring glory to Christ. In verse 4 it goes on, "Each of you should not look to your own interests, but also to the interests of others." And I look out on this beautiful church today, and I see so many people who are so good at this. I think of St. Mary's Church, and I know that there's so much caring and serving of others that goes on. We are called to be humble, and our model for this is Jesus. Paul writes, "Your attitude should be the same as Christ Jesus." We're to imitate his humility. So let's at this point look again with great wonder at who Jesus is, what he did, and what he's like. We look at his humility because Paul writes about it in this letter. He spells it out to the Philippians about all that Jesus has done and therefore how humble he made himself. So verses 5, 6, and 7. "Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He, Jesus, humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. This is amazing. This is our Jesus. This is the picture. This is the gospel. This is all he did. And what we see in these verses is the steps downwards that Christ took from the heights of heaven to the depths of this world. The greatest display of humility that the world has ever witnessed is the incarnation. No wonder Christmas is such a great celebration. That God became man and came to earth. Paul has written about Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, he starts by asserting the full deity of Christ, that Jesus is fully God. But he didn't cling to that. He remained fully God, but he consented to becoming human. He left the glory of heaven and came to earth as a man. That is a great display of humility. And for me, it's a really important thing and a joyous thing. So I came to faith in Jesus in 1987. I'd just gone to university to study to be a speech therapist. And there were two big penny-dropping moments for me in giving my life to Christ. And one was reading Matthew's Gospel in the Sermon on the Mount. If you're angry with your brother, that's tantamount to committing murder. I knew I messed up. I was sinful. Another was in Carey Baptist Church in Reading. And I don't know what he preached on, but I had the most phenomenal insight, only a revelation by God, that Jesus left the glory of heaven to come to earth. And those two things for me, that I got it wrong and needed a saviour, and Jesus left the glory of heaven to come to earth, came together for me to say yes to Jesus. I want you to be my Lord and Saviour. That is a great display of humility. That Jesus came to earth as a man. But he not only took on full humanity, he became a servant, a slave. Jesus said of himself, "I have not come to be served, but to serve." The sovereign became a servant. That is a great display of humility. And he humbled himself so much that he was prepared to become the servant of us all by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. That is a great display of humility. Jesus came into the world knowing it would end in death. And his death was the worst of all deaths. You know, crucifixion was an awful death, and it was only reserved for the worst of all criminals. And yet, Jesus had done nothing wrong. So that brings us to the next incredible act of humility, in that he submitted to have our sins put on him on the cross. 2 Corinthians, it says, "He who knew no sin became sin for us. The perfect one, the only perfect one, took on my sin and yours." That is a great display of humility. So as Paul writes to the Philippians and urges them to be humble, to imitate Christ's humility, to have the same attitude, the same mindset of Christ, he outlines all these acts of humility of Jesus. That he went from the glory of heaven to earth. He is the God who became man. He's the sovereign King of Kings that we just sang about, who became the servant, with an ultimate act of service of going to the cross. And on that cross, the sinless one took on my sin and yours. Jesus shows the greatest humility. And Paul writes to the Philippians, And in God's word, we are spoken to too, to imitate that humility. We're called to follow Jesus, to grow spiritually, and within that, we're called to be humble. Well, I could sort of say amen and sit down there, but there's a huge question in the air, isn't there? How do we do that? What does it look like? A bit like that quote earlier, if you think you have humility, you don't. It seems to me it's quite a puzzle. Can you actually work on humility? How do we become more humble? Well, because that felt like a bit of a mind blow, I thought I'll have a bit of a break from my sermon. I'll have a bit of a play on the computer. But I'll still keep my head in it. So I thought, well, you know, there's books for everything, isn't there? And we quite like the For Dummies series. That was a tiny bit of humility, maybe. We knew we were dummies, so we bought Keeping Chickens for Dummies. Yes, it exists. Look how thick that book is. Anyway, so I thought, well, humility. So, Dummy's Guide to Humility, I typed in. Bizarrely, this is what it came up with. A Beginner's Guide to the Stock Market. And then, Stretching Exercises for Seniors. I think they got mixed up with humility and agility or something. So I thought, okay, I'm going to keep going because this is quite fun. So I thought, well, that's dummies. Let's just go self-help guide. Typed it in. Self-help guide to humility. Third one down. Life skills for teenage girls. It's one of those algorithm things they've been reading. I'm 14 or 15, wanting to dye my hair orange. There was one book on Benedictine spirituality. But generally, there aren't books out there about becoming more humble. Well, of course they're not. It's not something you can read about. It's not a course you can go on. It's not something we sort of train ourselves in. Or is it? How do we develop that spiritual gift? How can we grow in humility? Well, the key, of course, is to look to Jesus. But looking again at our passage, what struck me was verse 7. Talking of Jesus, it says how he was God, but he made himself nothing. Now, the Greek word here for made himself nothing is kino. And there's a theological term of kenosis applied to Jesus. And it means emptied himself. Jesus emptied himself and became man and came to earth. And so some Bibles have that as the translation. He emptied himself, taking on the form of a servant. Well, I felt God really speaking to me about this, about emptying in order to be filled. And I felt it was for us today. The example of Christ was that he emptied himself. So now I'm moving to the table at the front where I have various things. So this glass represents me, maybe you. And I'm aware that I can fill myself with various things that are very me, me, me. One practical thing I get filled up with is I'm probably just too busy. But then there's the, well, it is all about me, not considering anybody else. I want. But what about those opposites of humility? That bit of pride. Well, I had a good idea. I did that rather well. And maybe even in relationship with others. Well, I'm better at that than they are, aren't I? What are your me things that fill you up? There are many me things that I'm sure fill me up. This passage says that we are to empty ourselves. It says Jesus emptied ourselves and we're to imitate him. It's only when I have emptied myself, and probably done a bit of saying sorry, like our confession earlier, that we can then be filled up with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. To be a servant. To consider others better than myself. To abound in love, which means I treat others with kindness and care. To be filled up with eyes that look to the other and not to self. If I'm filled up with Jesus, then hopefully Jesus might see, people might see Jesus through me. A call to empty ourselves that we might then be filled. The Bible talks about being filled with the fullness of God. The Bible talks about dying to self and seeking first the kingdom of God. If we can, when we do, empty ourselves, we can then begin to fill up with Jesus, with his attitude, his mindset of loving and looking to others and following his example as a servant. I started talking about orange hair, haircuts and clothes to imitate others. And I said they are all external things. Our call to humility is internal change, emptying ourselves that we might be filled with Christ, to have an attitude like his, not the high and mighty and the me, but the lowly and the others, the mindset like his, considering others better than ourselves. This is not easy. This is not one of those, go home and decide this afternoon, all right, I'll write humility down on a bit of paper and we'll get that sorted this week. Or, okay, I'm going to be humble now. We just can't do that. No wonder there's no self-help guide on humility. It's not something we achieve overnight. It's part of God's sanctifying work in us, and it's a lifelong journey. And actually, we can't do it, because it's all about God's work in us and God filling us. We can only pray, come, Lord Jesus, come, Holy Spirit, fill me afresh. And my invitation, and I'm going to do this, is to read this passage, Philippians 2, 1 to 11 this week. And if you can, to bravely ask God what you are to empty yourself of and then ask his help with it. But to then pray, come, Lord Jesus, come, Holy Spirit, fill me afresh. We're going to do that now. I'm going to hold a moment of quiet and then I'll say, let us pray. And we can pray those words on the screen together. A moment of quiet to allow the Lord to continue to speak to you. You might want to hold your hands out as if receiving a present as we pray this together. We pray, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill me afresh. And you know what? Those that the Lord humbles, he then exalts. So as you read this passage this week, rejoice in who Jesus is. And know, because of all his humility, all his coming to earth, all his service, therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and on under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. How great that now shapes our ongoing worship this morning. Amen.